blessing. So my wife, Rhonda, here is going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to pray as we proceed.
Okay, this morning I'm reading from John 4, 1 to 14. This is the story of the woman at the well and Jesus' declaration that he is the living water and also his invitation to satisfy our thirst. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where did you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
So let's pray. Lord, as the gathered church, we acknowledge your authority in this space today. We pray that you would first and foremost help us to make this all about you. Secondly, that through this service, you would renew our sense of connectedness and belonging to you, Christ, and your body, the church. Help us to leave this gathering today knowing that you are greater and more certain than anything or anyone we could possibly trust, that your Spirit is with us and is working in us and through us to love the city, the nation, and the world in unique and creative ways that is consistent with our gifting and our passions, that your truth is the certain light to shine on our path as we continue to follow you, and that your church is the hope of the world, not because of anyone who's part of it, but because of you, you alone that lead it. So we ask, Lord, today that you would encourage our hearts, that you would refresh our dreams, that you would renew our hope, that you would align our passions and help us to drink deeply of your living water. And so we pray this in the authoritative name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Does that mean I'm up, Mark?
That means you're up.
So this is my last official life group plug. You've heard me do this for about 5-6 years now. So I just want to encourage those of you, if you are not in a long-term group, but maybe in this season have really missed meeting together, and then we just don't know what's happening ahead in the next couple of months, to find kind of a spiritual place to land. So I'm going to just highlight three groups. You've been getting the announcements for this, but you can connect with each of them on our website. Jamie's running a Parenting Through the Phases group. And I know she's really excited about this. I think connecting different people in different life phases or parenting phases to learn from each other. But this might be a great group if you as a family are trying to figure out how to navigate everything and get ideas. This would be a great group for you. I also know that Mark and Rhonda are running Alpha Marriage. And I think both of these groups I'm excited about because it's sort of on the more preventative, proactive place of stewarding your relationships, whether it's your kids or your marriage. And so those two groups are running, and you can get information on when they start and what nights they're running, or if you're wondering which group is good for you. And maybe you're sitting here going, "I don't fit into any of those." We have one other group called Investigating Christianity. And particularly, I think maybe if you have been around Christianity, maybe you think you know the basics, or maybe you don't, or maybe you're new and you're seeking and you're wondering what it's all about. This is a great group for you. I'm super excited for Carolyn and Carmen to be leading it, because I think they'll not only deal with kind of your more, can you hear a siren here? There we go. I think they'll help you explore not only perhaps like kind of through the themes they have picked, but probably even allow you have some space to identify what are your questions. So just want to encourage you to sign up for those online. And as Jamie will be heading those up, if you're listening to any of these and you don't know where you fit, or you've done some short-term groups but are interested in a long-term group, just drop Jamie an email so she knows and you can connect together. So that is my life group plug. And for those of you, I know a bunch of you are in long-term groups to keep growing together. So, and yeah. So we're going to transition to really the same sort of work that we talk around life groups is spiritual growth. And we're going to talk, we want to introduce you to two people who were baptized actually a couple weeks ago, but this was in the works for April of last year. And they were getting all ready to tell their stories. We had filming lined up and then COVID happened. But we thought that as a way of kind of drawing us back together, that despite the world changing, the mission and vision of the church hasn't changed. Despite the context changing, despite the things that we're dealing with, God still wants to know his people. He's drawing people to himself. He wants us to grow deeper with him. And so we thought, what better way to start a service just to remind, you know, as we're sitting all behind our screens, that the church is still the same, the Spirit is still alive and active, and we have two people in our own community who have chosen to follow Jesus. So take a look.
Hi, Bethel. My name is Christina Moy. I grew up in Ottawa and have been in Kingston for the last 6 years. I'm currently completing a psychiatry residency with Queen's. I grew up in a household that never spoke much about religious views, but I myself had been agnostic, thinking there has to be something bigger out there, but not really knowing what. Before coming to Christ, I felt like I had to rely on myself a lot, especially within my own academic and career goals. I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I juggled more and more projects each year, ultimately reaching a point where I took on way more than I could handle, prioritizing work and school over all else. 3.5 years ago, I met my now husband, who has been a lifelong follower of Christ. It was the first time I had serious conversations about faith and spirituality, an area I had never personally explored. I remember being recommended Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I picked it up and read it in one sitting. The writing and logic transformed my thinking from there must be something bigger out there to feeling drawn to Christ in a new way. I've been attending Bethel regularly since then, where I feel so lucky to have experienced the love from the community and support from Amanda and my life group. Now that I'm a follower of Christ, the anxiety of feeling like I could only rely on myself has been replaced by a supernatural peace, knowing that God will provide for me and that the Holy Spirit is with me. There are, of course, times where my anxiety returns, where I can remind myself of this truth and ground myself in continuing to strive not to live out of concern for my own future on earth, but rather to live with intention to align my heart with our eternal God. A verse that has been really reassuring for me, especially during these times of uncertainty, has been Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I am so excited to be baptized today as a declaration of my faith to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
My name is Paul Allison. I was born in Kingston and was raised in a small town called Godfrey, approximately 45 minutes north of Kingston. I've always enjoyed every opportunity to get out and explore the great outdoors through canoeing, camping, and hiking. I was born into a Christian family by my two amazing parents, David and Christine. I gave my life to the Lord at a young age. Every summer, my family went wilderness camping at Crotch Lake, a beautiful lake north of Charlotte Lake, with my uncle, aunt, and cousins who live in the Orangeville area. We canoed into an island and set up camp there for a week. One year, during our camping adventures, in the middle of the night, an immense storm came upon us, and tornadoes touched down in neighboring communities. I vividly remember being very frightened by the storm. I was camping with my father and mother, who have always been incredible Christian mentors and role models for me. On this night, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was 12 years old. During high school, I was an active member of Bethel Church's Young Adult Youth Group led by Fred Grendel. Fred did incredible work and was an important person in the early years of my faith journey. In addition to serving as a youth pastor, Fred was a great friend. He used to regularly pick me up at Sydenham High School to take me out for lunch during the day, and also took me out ice fishing. It was Fred who encouraged me to take a huge step in my walk with Jesus by being a part of Bethel Church's missions team to Constance Lake. At Constance Lake, I was involved in organizing and facilitating sports programming for the children's ministry that we ran daily for children and youth in the community. I look back on this missions trip as an experience that ignited my faith and made visible to me the ways in which God uses each and every one of us to further his kingdom. It was a big leap of faith for me to leave the comfort of my home and my family to travel to an unknown community 12 hours away. I trusted in God, he provided, and I had an experience I would never forget. I studied computer science and education at Queen's University. My university years were a time when my faith was tried and tested. As a Christian, I often found it challenging to fit into the university community and culture as I lived my life differently than many of my peers. I wasn't a partier and stood firm to my Christian values. I met one of my best friends, Mafti Babawe, in my first year of university. Mafti is a strong Christian who I am blessed to have in my life now and during university. During the completion of my master's degree, I was looking for fellowship and a Christian community. I joined Geneva House and joined a huddle group with Steve Coy and two international students. The opportunity to participate in the huddle group has been an amazing opportunity for me to grow in my faith and to connect about life, faith, and missional living. Steve has been an important mentor and role model in my life as a young professional. I've also joined a Connect Life group in partnership with Bethel Church and Geneva House, where I meet weekly with a community of young professionals for weekly Bible study, community, and fellowship. I am blessed to have my fiance Sam beside me in this journey. Sam is a strong Christian woman who loves the Lord. We do Bible studies together, we pray together, and we grow in our faith together. This year, we are excited to be leading a Geneva House Connect Bible study together. I'm very happy that Sam and I share a Christ-centered relationship. I'm very grateful to the Lord for Sam. God is so good and has worked in my life in so many amazing ways. We were reminded in 1 Chronicles 16:34 to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. I'm so pleased to be baptized today to proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
So Christina and Paul, we want to bless you guys today in this act of obedience as you are baptized in Lake Ontario. It's interesting when you read the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught the prayer that follows, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And the beautiful part about that prayer is when we say "Our Father," it's defining the fact, or it's illustrating the fact, that our relationship now with God has significantly changed. No longer is God some distant person, or I'm not sure how I relate with him, but when I call God Father, it's saying that I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God. And then it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And so not only does our Father suggest and illustrate my relationship has changed, but when I pray "Your kingdom come," my will is surrendered to the Father. And so today, as you get baptized, there's lots of symbolism. And the symbolism is, as you stand in the water, the wavy waters of Ontario, you are demonstrating a surrendered heart. And when you go under the water and you come back out, you're demonstrating the fact that your will is surrendered, that God now is your Father. You are his son, Paul. Christina, you are his daughter. And now you walk in obedience and surrender to Christ. And so on this day, as we gather here, we are a privilege to be able to witness this, honor you guys, and pray for you guys.
Paul, there is great celebration in heaven and on earth because of your decision to be baptized today. We're all so proud of you, and we're so excited for your public profession of your faith in Jesus. Everyone who knows you can testify the Spirit is so evident in your life. You reflect God so clearly in the way that you care for others, the way you teach your students, the way you love Samantha, and the way you lead. And your baptism is a special sign to all of us of how God is working so powerfully in you and through you. So thank you, Paul, for your testimony. and for letting Christ shine through you. Paul, do you desire to be baptized today? Do you confess your need for Jesus as your Savior? Do you desire to make Him Lord of your life? Then, based on your testimony of faith and in obedience to Scripture, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Christina, we are so excited as your spiritual community to be at this moment today in your spiritual journey. We have seen you grow and come to know Jesus, and we can see Him at work in your life as you figure out how to incorporate your faith and your calling, as you stepped into a marriage that you have grounded in Christ, and as you continue to grow in your life group and among other believers. And so it is our privilege to mark this occasion of your following Jesus with your baptism. And so is it your desire to get baptized today? And do you confess that you need Jesus as your Savior and now desire to make Him Lord of your life?
Then based on your testimony of faith and in obedience to Scripture, we baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So we are going to pray for them just as their community right now, because they have not had their church pray for them. So let's pray together. Faithful God, we thank you that you are always unchanging. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you work in us and you work for us, even when we are not aware of your working. We want to thank you today for calling Paul and Christina to yourself and also to journey with us. Renew them in the covenant you've made with them in their baptism. And by the power of your Spirit, will you increase in them your gifts of grace? Will you grow them in a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and fear of you, and the joy of your presence? Protect them for the work that you will do in them and through them. And with the blessing from Numbers that the Lord will bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. Welcome to our family. Amen.
Amen. A bit of a different way to experience baptisms, a little perhaps drier, cooler, or warmer for us watching the video, but that was a great experience. When you hear those stories, one of the things that reminds me of and is one of our values as a church is team. And you just realize the theater of people that we need around us to contribute in various ways to help us move along, whether it's in our careers or, you know, spiritually, whatever it is. But it's not just one, it's multiple people. So we're really, really grateful for wonderful teams that serve and people that come alongside other individuals. And that transitions us to our next part of our service. As we know, we are saying hello and we're saying goodbye today. And this part is the hello part. We have a new team member, Connor Price, and his wife are here this morning, and you can see them there. We're going to give them a chance in a second here just to speak up. But perhaps you've met Connor through various avenues in the last number of years because he's been to Kingston, he's been at Bethel, he's been involved in different kind of ministries. But perhaps this is your first time. So I want to encourage you, if you can multitask, that you just listen, but also go to the chat and say, good morning, Connor, or hello, Heather, Connor and Heather. Welcome to Bethel. We just want to encourage you to do that right now as we welcome Connor and Heather. And if you did not see the interview that we did with Connor a couple of weeks ago in our service, we would encourage you to go back to that, because We take about a 10-minute section where Amanda and him are talking, and just Connor is introducing himself to the church. So like I said, the reality of community, the reality of team is you have people coming and going, and of course Connor is coming. And so Connor, do you want to just take a second, maybe introduce yourself, introduce your wife to us, and then we're going to commission and we're going to pray for you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark, for that introduction. Yeah, this is my wife, Heather, over here. And very, very thankful to be able to be a part of this Bethel community. I've been so warmly welcomed by so many of you over the last few weeks. And just very, very thankful to be here. Yeah, my background is a bit at Iowa, so I know a lot of you from Iowa, and it's been really great to get to know you there. And I'm excited to be able to serve the youth here.
Yeah. Okay, well, good job. I've just, Connor's been with us now since September the 1st, right? And maybe just tell us, or Heather, you can speak up too here, if you want, just what are you doing, Heather, in town? What's your role?
Connor started at Bethel, and God was really good, and I was able to get a teaching job in Kingston, so I'm teaching grade 1 at Rideau Public School.
Yeah. So to the both of you, a warm welcome, and we realize this is a weird time to join a church. If a new family comes to our church, it's weird, or a new individual, whoever, students, it's just a weird way to connect, and we know this has been weird and strange, but as you look at these squares, this is your new church, and so we want to welcome you, and I have, just want to mention, I've really appreciated Connor, his willingness to innovate, flex, I'll use the overused word in COVID these days, but pivot, and to learn how to kind of do youth ministry in a very, very challenging season. But we felt as a board that it was a top priority to hire in this area to minister to our Gen Z students and to reach out to them. So what we want to do here is I'm just going to commission Connor, as we've brought him in on as our youth pastor, to give him a charge, to call him out, and to bless him. And then Eric, one of our elders, is going to pray for Connor and Heather as they begin their new life here in town. So continue to make comments in chat, continue to welcome, continue to introduce yourself. But let me read the charge, and then Eric, if you want to just follow that with prayer. So we charge you today, Connor, as the body of Christ, to step up and be the man of God that God has called you to be, to embrace with confidence and humility the mantle of responsibility that is being placed upon you. We charge you in humility to daily choose to come under the authority of Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and whose words, make disciples, describe the heart and soul of your ministry. We charge you to daily put on the armor of God so that you are able to stand strong, that you are able to stand tall and powerfully. We encourage and ask and commission you to love our youth, to connect with them deeply, to listen to them intently, to speak into their lives with a profound and godly insight that will draw them to Christ. We ask you to make it all about team, to not fall prey to the false glamour of leadership or the enticing allure of power. And we call you to love Heather and put no ministry task ahead of who must be your first love, next, of course, to Christ. So on this 27th day of September 2020, we applaud, pray, and encourage you as you lead with the towel on your knees, lead our youth to a deeper communion with Christ. So Eric, if I can invite you now to pray prayer blessing.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I just want to say big welcome to you both, Connor, Heather. That's fantastic to have you here. So let's pray. God, we come before you this morning and just thank you so much for Connor and Heather. And it's a really, really difficult time right now. And that goes without saying. Unprecedented is, it doesn't actually explain it and get to all the things that doing work like this entails right now. So we come to you, God, this morning, and we first of all just thank you so much for Connor and for Heather and for their passion for you and the things that you've done in their lives up till now that I don't know anything about or not much at all. And we thank you for that and for having a purpose and having a direction for us and for them and being in control. And we thank you for this. Even though it's hard to sometimes see where things go next, we thank you that those are true things that you are working, and you're working with Connor and Heather, and we just offer glory to you and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And then especially right now, Mark just commissioned that Connor would be the man of God that you want him to be, and just expanding the, for both of you, the man and woman and couple of God that you want them to be. And that's actually a dangerous thing to pray, because we don't know exactly where this is going next and who you want Connor and Heather to be. We know it's good. We know it's the best. It's not always exactly how we picture it, though, but we pray it anyway. And if that's okay with Connor and Heather, we'll pray that they will be the couple of God that you want them to be. That you'll bless them, you'll keep them, and that you, through them, will bless us and bless our youth. Give Connor and Heather the creativity, the ideas, the patience, the discernment, the calm that they need to do the work you want them to do step by step here. Empower them with your spirit. Help them as they show the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and bless them and bless us. Keep them and keep us and show us even just the next step. Again, we thank you and glorify you, and we pray for both of them now this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. And I just encourage, as many of you have, encourage you to reach out to these guys, and even if it's just a brief email or just to say hello, because again, to emphasize how difficult it is to come to a church in this season with some of our limitations, and to feel like you're actually connected. So as I said, we are welcoming, and but also today, what's probably the one big issue upon many of our hearts is we're also saying goodbye. And with Connor, we're anticipating what God will do, and trusting for great things. And with Amanda, we are now saying thank you for what she and her leadership teams have been able to accomplish at Bethel. And so we want to move into this time of farewell, goodbye, see you later. and we know that Amanda's not leaving the city many of us will see her, of course, in different capacities. But we just want to bless Amanda by saying thank you, and acknowledging and honoring. And we know that many of you have done that individually and will continue to do that. But as someone leaves and as someone departs, words can really be healing in some ways, and instructive and affirming on that journey. And so we know that we could have maybe opened up this for a group share, and we'd be here for a long time because lots of people would want to say some things, but we can't do that, obviously. But we've picked three individuals that are going to just give some tribute right now to Amanda. So we would invite you to listen in. And listen in, and also if you want to use the chat box to make a comment, to agree with something that is said in that testimony, or to emphasize that. So again, we want this to be interactive, so feel free to do that. So we're going to proceed here with three tributes that will follow each other.
Well, good morning, Bethel, and especially good morning, Amanda. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Steve Gammon, and I'm one of the music team leaders here at Bethel. And I'm down here at Bethel this afternoon with mixed emotions. Mixed because it's great to be back on this stage and on this platform that I haven't been on for 6 months. Sad because we haven't been here playing for 6 months in Bethel, and especially sad this morning because we're here to say goodbye to Amanda. I'm here to say a special goodbye to Amanda personally on behalf of the music team and the music ministry as well. Amanda, it has been fantastic sharing this ministry with you over the last number of years, and I know that we have occasionally been frustrating, but you have brought a sense of structure, some systems, and you have pulled us together. And we all know that musicians can be a pretty hard bunch to work with sometimes. So thank you for mentoring us, for coaching us, for leading us, and investing in us. But personally, and most importantly, I want to say thank you for being a smiling and supportive face sitting right down there in the front pew every morning. When we're involved in music, what we see every Sunday morning is what's out there. Sometimes those can be faces that are yawning. Sometimes those can be faces that are checking their emails. But Amanda's face was always supportive and encouraging, especially when we had some mistakes and some bloopers, and I had some good ones over the years. So Amanda, from me personally, and from all of us at the music ministry, we want to say thank you for being there. Thank you for being supportive. Thank you for being a smiling and a safe place for us every Sunday we were playing. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he guide you and lead you in this next chapter of your life and your career. Thank you.
Amanda has played such an enormously influential role in my own discipleship journey. What started with just taking a chance on a Connect card, grabbing a coffee, and a few years down the road, and I feel like I have a big sister and someone who's journeyed with me as God has essentially turned my world upside down. Amanda, thank you so much for everything that you've done for me personally, but also for the entire Bethel community. Thank you for pouring your heart and soul into investing into myself and to our church family. Thank you for being one of my biggest cheerleaders, challenging me constantly to step out more and more in faith and to embrace all that God has in store for me in my own calling, in terms of even coming here at Trinity and being able to serve the students in my new teaching role. And you were a huge influence in that. And so, yeah, thank you for constantly just pushing me to step out more in faith. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for you in this next chapter. And obviously we'll be praying into that until there's a little bit more clarity. And I have no doubt he's going to use you in big ways. You have so many wonderful gifts to share in terms of your leadership. And I think even for me, a couple of things, I've learned so much from you over the years, but I feel like two things that really stand out for me in particular in this new season that I'm in my teaching role here at Trinity Western would have to be, one, the importance of casting kingdom vision, and two, the importance and the ability to empower and equip the students, the athletes in my care, my mentees, to be more and more reliant on God and less so on me. And so, you've taught me so much over the years, and I can't wait to see how God continues to mold, shape, and use you in this next chapter. So thank you for everything you've done. I pray that there's some time of rest in your transition, and sending all my love and best wishes as you head into this next chapter.
The year is 2008. The climate is humid and tropical. I'm a newly arrived teacher in Honduras, surrounded by sweaty teenagers speaking a language I don't understand. Then I spot a tall blonde commanding their attention. The students are enraptured, following her clear instructions and engaged in the lesson. This was my first experience with Amanda Van Haltren, who was working as a phys ed and science teacher at the same school. Although I didn't have the opportunity to work with Amanda that closely at the time, it was clear to me that she had a gift for leading and teaching. Fast forward to 2014. Amanda is hired as the new associate pastor at Bethel, and I am about to benefit from her leadership and teaching gifts firsthand. And now, it's 2020, and I'm asked to give a tribute about Amanda's impact in the area of leadership in only a few short minutes. Over the past 6 years during Amanda's time at Bethel, I have had the opportunity to work under her leadership as a life group leader, work alongside her planning various events, and most importantly, I've been challenged and encouraged by her as a close friend. So to keep my tribute as succinct as possible, I thought I would honor each one of her 6 years at Bethel by describing six traits she possesses that make her a strong leader. One trait for each year she's led here. As another female leader in the church, it makes sense to start by appreciating Amanda as a trailblazer. Amanda has paved the way for other women to find their voice and lead in a historically male-dominated area. Her confident, encouraging, empathetic, and honest nature has made her a leader who has discipled well both females and males of all ages. Thanks to her, many other women in our church have been raised up as leaders. I actually don't know if I would be on the BOD today if it weren't for her. I think we can all fully agree that Amanda is innovative. During her time at Bethel, she has brought many new and exciting visions to fruition through her leadership. Loft, TED Talks, short-term life groups, and women's events, just to name a few. Amanda saw needs. For example, a space for young adults to worship, learn, and live out their faith together, and gave birth to Loft. She saw the desire for deeper learning in our church and brought forth TED Talks. She met the need of many for closer community and created countless new long and short-term life groups. She responded to the heart's desires of women in our congregation for more close female relationships by leading two different women's events. A trait that is often overlooked and unsung in leaders is humility. Amanda is an incredible leader and speaker, yet still possesses a humble and modest spirit. After giving a powerful message on a Sunday morning, she gives glory to God for any impact it's made on the listeners instead of taking the credit for herself. One of the reasons for her humility must be the result of her constant faithfulness. She has dealt with many personal trials, hurts, and frustrations over the years, yet she never ceases in turning to and trusting God. This faithfulness has been inspirational to me, both personally and as a leader. Additionally, she has proven to be calm, courageous, and creative when facing crisis. In the past year and a half, Amanda has led our church alongside Mark through two difficult situations and has kept a level head through it all. For example, since COVID has changed the way we've done church, Amanda has remained calm and sought creative solutions to how we can continue to worship and engage with one another online. Finally, one of the marks of a good leader is their teachable spirit. Amanda has demonstrated time and time again that she is a lifelong learner. Just last year, she attended a weekend-long event of her own volition, led by Daniel Strickland, where she sought to improve her public speaking skills. I know I can sincerely say this on behalf of the leadership and congregation at Bethel. Amanda, you will be missed for these reasons and so many more. Your absence will leave a void, but we will benefit for years from what you have built, fostered, and led. Thank you, Amanda, for your innovative, humble, faithful, calm, courageous, creative, and thoughtful leadership over the past 6 years. We love you, and we can't wait to see how God will continue to use you in the future.
Well, I'll give you a moment, Amanda, to kind of process all that. But yeah, great tributes. Well said, well spoken. And again, we could turn the mic over to every little, you know, square here and give you a comment or give you an opportunity. But you can do that in the chat box. And of course, for the sake of time, we can't do that for everybody. But so, Amanda, we just we want to pray for you, pray blessing over you, and you're going to lead us in communion in just a moment. But maybe just to give you a chance to say thank you to Bethel, and then I'm going to ask you another question regarding prayer.
Okay. It's kind of odd to sit alone at your computer and receive these things and kind of try to stay grounded, right? So we'll go with it. We'll see what happens. But thank you to those three. I know, it's always good to truthfully know that I'm not leaving Kingston, so I will see all of you. It makes it a bit less difficult. My thanks goes, first of all, I want to say to the board, both past and present, to allow me to continue to do my job with great freedom in terms of, trying things and adaptability and the ability to try in this community has been great. And so I just want to thank the board for allowing me to lead in that capacity. I also want to send a big thank you to the staff. I think we have such an amazing team, and, you know, really crisis brings out people, you know, where people are really at. And I can say in the time so we've really led and had to get pushed, I am just so thankful to have such a great team around me. And truthfully, you know, some of those tributes are in part because I have a good team. It's the team makes me better. So I want to say thank you to the staff, but that is also true of a lot of my key leaders, my worship leaders, my life group leaders. What makes me, you know, if you want to say part of the leader that I am, is again, that great team. I don't lead alone. My ability to do and influence is because you allow me to influence you. And so I just want to say thank you to all of my leaders who have pushed what God has laid on my heart and also given me feedback, what God's put on your heart, and to be able to lead in this community has been a huge privilege. And I would say this to all of you as a congregation, you all choose to let me influence you. And it's so odd to say this, no computer. it's a huge privilege to be allowed to influence you. And I hope that doesn't stop, that we can encourage each other, learn from each other, and keep spurring each other on to all that God has for us. So thank you to all of you for allowing me to lead you, and for even as I leave, for all of you to be like, let's see what God's going to do. And so even encouraging me in my leaving. Now I need a moment.
So we want to pray for you, Amanda, and I'm asking you the question. I know the answer because we did go over this before, but yeah. For everyone else to know, and this is, I would encourage you to take a note here, everybody. Like, she's going to share some ways to pray, so we're going to pray for her, but we want to continue to pray for Amanda as you're entering into new season. So if you have a pen and just write these points down, and then you can continue to pray for her. But what would be those suggested ways we could pray for you, Amanda?
I think first of all, just praying protection, physical and spiritual protection on God's work and his leading. I also would say discernment and wisdom for the next step. It's very odd because I feel like there is something out there for me. I just don't know what it is yet. So just to be able to trust, to wait and trust to know. The verse that I've been sitting in is just the God's repeated command to Joshua is just to be strong and courageous wherever you go and wherever you put your foot. You know, the Lord has already conquered that territory. So just to watch him work and not strive to make it happen. And then I would say that we all like pray for yourselves, but our community, you know, because we're still the body of Christ together. that we keep pursuing Jesus with a fire and a passion that spreads not just in our own community, but to our neighbors and to our city. So keep on following him with all you've got.
Okay, so we're going to pray, and I've asked Rhonda to lead us, and then I'll conclude the prayer. But here's how we're going to engage in the prayer. Carrie is going to unmute everybody. And when I conclude the prayer and say, we all agree together and say, I'll pause for just a second, and then you get to say amen. Okay? So make sure you're unmuted. Carrie will unmute you. And because when we say amen, we're just agreeing, right? We're just saying, yeah, that's true. We pray that. We agree with that. May that be lived out in Amanda's life. So, Rhonda.
So, Amanda, I'd like to speak today from several passages of Scripture, from Colossians 1, from Psalm 91, and from Ephesians 3. And then, as Mark said, he'll conclude with prayer. And he'll pray of 119, the Scripture that you mentioned. So let's pray together. Lord, we join our hearts together this morning as we pray your blessing on Amanda and send her off to the next chapter of her life. With so many uncertainties, we pray that she would be filled with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom, discernment, and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that in the coming days, weeks, and years, she would keep in step with your Spirit and live a life worthy of your calling. Would you help her to be fully pleasing to you and to bear fruit as she grows in the knowledge of you? May you be her focus, her center, her rock, her passion, and her ambition. Would you strengthen Amanda with power according to your glorious might, so she may have endurance and patience? Would you help her in fruitful times as well as in seasons of dryness and doubt to see your hand of physical and spiritual protection, provision, and guidance as she puts her trust in you? Thank you that you've invited Amanda to take refuge in you and to dwell in your shelter. Thank you that you are her strength, her shield, her protector, her fortress, and her dwelling place. We ask you to fill her with the satisfaction that comes from reliance on you and from being emptied of self and filled with your Spirit. Would you help her to hold fast to you in love? And thank you that as you are able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine, we can have confidence as we commit Amanda to you for the next chapter and season of her life.
And finally, Lord, with all of our might, spiritual resources, and will, we pray Joshua 1:9 over Amanda, that she would be strong and courageous, not frightened and not dismayed, that she would know the sanctifying, empowering, and reassuring presence of her Father in heaven, who loves her with an immeasurable love. And so we bundle this prayer up, we lay it before you, Lord, today, and we all agree together, and we say,
Amen.
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 Well done. Carrie is going to take a moment here just before Amanda leads us in communion. Okay.
Sorry, I muted you for a second.
Yeah, no problem. So Carrie is going to, before Amanda leads us in communion, Carrie is going to do a little presentation.
Yeah, so Amanda, yesterday I brought a little package to your office desk. So it's now your turn. You get to open it. And you can open it in front of the camera. I mean, yeah, brown paper box. Amanda, you can even like describe it out loud. That way your face goes on gallery view and people can see as you open it.
It's a box with a memory stick taped to it and a whole lot of cards.
Yeah, so as Mark said earlier, you know, we don't have time for everyone on these Hollywood squares to give you notes of encouragement and, you know, in this time, but there are, I think, enough notes, you know, for the future, letters, notes, videos that will take you well into November, even if you did one a day. So this is from us to you. It's from everyone on these Hollywood squares, other people who aren't here today, to encourage you, to share stories, to just to even remind you, you know, maybe on a day where you're frustrated, there might be a letter in there that reminds you of what you've done for us, for the people here. So we just wanted to share that with you. And I think, also in there, there's a gift from the board and the congregation in there as well. So you can, I'll make sure you find that one afterwards. So yeah, so that's from everyone here to you. And if there's someone here who is listening who still wants to submit a letter or a video or something like that, feel free to reach out to me because I'll make sure that Amanda gets that in the future.
Okay.
You guys are good secret keepers because someone said something like I would have had no idea. And someone's like, wait, how much do you know? I was like, well done, Bethel. Yeah, I had no idea.
I kept you out of the weekly emails. I kept you out of all of those weekly emails.
So does that mean I'm up now?
I think
that
so.
That means you are up.
Yes. Well, it is such a privilege, I think, and hopefully I believe appropriate that we end our time together in communion, and it's my privilege to lead us through that, actually. So if you'll make sure that you have whatever you are using as communion, just thinking back actually the first time we did this on Easter Sunday, just kind of whoever thought we'd be doing communion online, right? Like, oh man. But we are the body of Christ, and we say the church isn't living in the building. And so why wouldn't we also, as we sit in our own homes in the spaces God has given us in this season, that we are here together this morning in live time doing communion. And so we're going to start by, if you'll just take whatever you were using for bread, I'll just show you my bread. It's a sort of roly pear bread, but it struck me as I was thinking about bread, you have different types of bread. You have sourdough, you have rye bread, you have some bread has nuts in it. All of these are very analogous, I think, for the body of Christ. We have some sourdough, we have some nutty bread, we have seed bread, we have fruit bread. But the body of Christ all comes together because we're united under one Lord and one Savior. And so we take this meal in remembrance, and we stand with all of the church before us in history and the church to come, that God's work still continues, because Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, this is my body, and my body is broken so that we as the body could be made whole as the body of Christ. And so just as you'll take this, and whether you break a piece off, just to speak to yourself that Christ took on the brokenness so that we could, even now in these days, be made whole as a body and have hope in this life. So let's partake of the bread together. And Jesus did the same thing after supper with the cup, and he poured out wine and he said, this is representation of the new covenant in my blood. And blood was very much understood to be a symbol of life in that context. And so we have hope and we have life. And I would say when Jesus walked on earth and he's doing this last remembrance ceremony, his whole life has demonstrated the heart of God. And it's from that blessing that someone read earlier from Numbers, that the Lord wants to bless us and keep us. The Lord wants to make his face to shine upon us. He wants to be gracious to us and to lift his countenance and turn towards us and give us peace. That is his heart. That is his promise. And so in this next, we're going to end with a song as you're holding this symbol of wine, whatever you were, or of blood, whatever you were using. I would like to encourage you to listen to this song. It probably is familiar to you. It's about 6 minutes long. At any point, you can participate in just taking of the juice. And I would also encourage you, maybe you sit and reflect, but maybe it's time to worship, just as we sing God's promise, these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you.
So, Body of Christ, know that we love you, and we consider that we are the body. We're the family of God, and so it's great to have seen everybody. Great to be able to sit in this moment and celebrate what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, and the fact that we will spend eternity together, which will be pretty amazing. So Amanda, God bless you as you take the next step and get ready for the next service. You'll probably be emotionally tired by the end, but and God bless everybody in this group today. Let me read a benediction over you, and then the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.